from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for what must be a Tuesday, but it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher with the night off, as Medium Joe needs a little bit of tension, so we'll let him have that. He carried the heavy load last week while I was gone. But across from me, through that glass, through that beautiful, beautiful glass, I see a 96 Mazda Miata, soft top, convertible. Jordan Schultze on the ones and twos.
Good to see you, bro. Good to be here.
Good to see you, my friend. How you been? I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
I know, Matt. Good. Actually caught Joe Fish at the Journey Def Leppard concert last night here in Portland at Moda. And I know you went out to see Dave Matthews.
That's true.
Got to hear how that was. We've kind of been in the world of nostalgic music for the last week or so. I love it.
Yeah, I got back yesterday around 5 o'clock. There is a traffic situation up there between Battleground and Kalama.
Oh, God.
That is not really fun. I don't usually come home that way, but I had to take some amigos to the airport, so I had to go through Seattle. Normally, I cut down through Yakima into the gorge. So that added an extra 40 minutes to my drive. When you're 20 miles from your house, it's not really rad.
That I have ADHD, so that would just not my brain. If that were me, that sucks.
Cigarettes, my friend, cigarettes.
Yes, back in the day when I woke up at 4 a.m. regularly for radio, that was me. Cigarettes indeed, baby.
But I had a nice weekend, and I didn't really tell anybody before I went out there, and I made the choice, and I'm very happy with it. I am now retired from Dave at the Gorge.
Oh, this was like your curtain call, your final show.
This is my curtain call.
All right.
It's been almost 20 years. I'm tired. There's not much I haven't seen. The shows were excellent. Trombone Shorty, Corey Wong, guest appearances, those were awesome.
Did something happen this time around?
No. It was great. I'm just done, man. I'm just hanging her up.
I mean, at some point, there is you can only accomplish so much. There's only so much to do at a concert in the same venue every year. I don't know. I haven't been to that show yet. I really, really want to go. So I can't believe I've grown up here and never gone.
It's really fun. That venue is really, really cool. And I think that's part of it as well, is that I've been going to that venue since 2006, and it's just an incredible place. Like the scenery and the culture and the campground and just the ability for that place to get artists who play there to get up and play in ways they never thought they ever could play is really rad. But it's 100 degrees, and Live Nation now owns it, and they're the devil.
Oh.
And
no, they're great. What are we talking about?
Yeah, and I've just seen that place transform over the last almost 20 years. I mean, everything you need is there, but there's a little store in the campground.
Yeah.
Where you can buy like some beer, some deodorant, box of Cheez-Its.
Everything you would need.
Water. Yeah. Yeah. If your inflatable mattress popped, you can buy a new one.
Okay.
There are no prices on anything.
Uh-oh. So they can charge whatever the hell they want that particular day.
Because it doesn't matter. You're like, I need this water.
Okay. $69.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's just a lot. It's a lot of that, you know. It's a 5-hour drive. My wife's birthday was on Saturday, and I missed that because I was out there.
Wow.
Which I do every year, and
ballsy.
You can tell that goes well in my house.
By the grin on your face, yeah, yeah.
It goes really well in my father-in-law's house.
Really feeling that.
Yeah, so I'm hanging it up. If you have any questions, I'm more than willing to walk you through what it's like to see shows at the Gorge. I've seen, you know, I don't know, somewhere like 60-plus shows out there.
Oh, I've been to a Gorge show. Yeah. I've just never seen DMB. Never. I need to get out there. I've heard that it is just one of the best shows you'll ever see in your life.
So. Well, the band was great. I mean, they did a Europe tour. They did their normal summer tour. And I bet you nobody had as good of a time as we did out there.
Hell yeah, man.
So that's great.
I can imagine. Good for y'all. I think we were having a very similar fun time, even inside the Moda Center last night. Let's just say, Joe, anybody that went to that concert, and I'm talking like there were young kids that went there too, nobody could have passed a drug test afterwards just from the contact high that we all got.
Was it the full arena?
It was the theater.
Oh, okay, so it was cut off a little bit.
Yeah, so it probably had a 15,000 seat, okay, you know, with one end cut off for the stage behind there. But
that's a pretty dynamic duo to be doing shows.
A Def Leppard Journey combo, and I don't know if you knew this, but the rest of their tour had Steve Miller Band attached to some cities. Yeah, so my wife and I were actually kind of stoked looking at the lineups, like, oh, baby, we're going to get to see Steve Miller tonight, too. And unfortunately, that was not on the Portland marquee, but, you know, still two amazing people to serve, two amazing groups to serve.
Is interesting because Steve Miller lives up in the San Juan Islands.
I know.
Yeah, you would think it's close enough.
I think he's going to be at the Seattle show here tomorrow, I believe, the Def Leppard T-Mobile Park Journey show is, yeah.
I've seen Steve Miller multiple times, and the last time I saw him, Peter Frampton opened for him out at Edgefield.
Wow.
And I actually went to the show to see Peter Frampton because I'd seen Steve Miller multiple times. And Steve Miller mailed in that show, and Peter Frampton was phenomenal.
Hey, that's really cool. I love hearing that. It's like, you know what, the opener, not everybody goes for the opener to a concert. So that's pretty sweet, man.
Yeah.
I know it's Peter Frampton, but still cool.
Sure, sure. I probably would not be at the Journey Def Leppard show. I don't find either of those bands that enticing to me. But I imagine there was a lot of people there having a lot of fun.
I mean, honestly, all generations. Like, I was shocked. My wife and I were like, I wonder if we'll be some of the younger people there. Nope, there were 20-year-olds there. Everybody wanted to see, and I think it was more Journey for that than Def Leppard, but it was kind of amazing to see, honestly, not a seat empty. I think it was a sold-out concert, and 80 down to 10 years old and younger there. It's pretty cool.
The camp I was in staying at the Gorge, I was the youngest person there.
That a baby.
Which was depressing because I felt like the oldest.
Well, they're all just letting loose.
And then I think it was Saturday night, I was in the pit and I was standing next to this really, really sweet couple. They were like 30 and they just got married.
Oh.
And being around a 30-year-old couple who just got married made me feel a lot better.
That's good. That's good. A little honeymoon stage. You're closer to your age.
I was like, oh man, I've been around 50 and 60-year-olds all day. Like, you guys are awesome.
My people.
Yeah.
I'll never forget worst concert.
And they hit me up for drugs.
Well, hey, why wouldn't they? You're the guy closest to their age. Of course they would.
I don't do drugs. Drugs are bad, okay?
Drugs are bad, okay? Don't do them. But worst concert experience, like going and seeing a singer ever, was Boz Scaggs. It was a blues fest a few years ago, wanting to catch him here, and got tickets from the station. He closed with the Lido Shuffle, you know?
Great tune.
His song. As you talk about Steve Miller mailing it in, Boz, he not only mailed that song in, it was like he put resting bitch face on during that entire 4 minutes. He's like, been singing this for 30 years. F you all for loving it. I effing hate doing this. Yeah. He did not want to be singing that song.
I'm here for a check, and I can't believe I'm at a blues fest on the 4th of July.
Basically.
I hate my life.
No. Honestly, he looked pretty happy the entire concert up until that point. I think it was just a middle finger to anybody like me that still liked Lido Shuffle. So.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have a baseball show for you tonight. Like I said, Joe Fisher, we're giving him the night off as he has done plenty of heavy lifting for me over the last month, so we'll give him the night off. But Schultzy and I are here with you for the next 2 hours. We got a lot to get to. I got one team in the American League going the wrong way. I got one team in the National League that could surprise people with the best record in baseball or the best record in the National League. Plus, I want to argue maybe this guy should win the Cy Young in the American League that everyone's kind of sleeping on. And if we got time, I might push it to next week. If we got time, is Shohei the MVP of the National League? Because there's another guy that's kind of got something to say about that right now. So we might get in that today. We might get into it next week. There's still some time left in the season. But I'd like to start off just looking at the wild card standings. In the American League, the National League, there's a lot of S going on, a lot of movement, a lot of wild things happening. So we'll start there. Well, let's kick it. Schultzy, your choice, National League or American
League? I'll start with National League.
Smart man.
It's like I hear enough about the American League. I want to hear a little bit about the Phillies. The Mets have actually been playing well enough to compete for a wild card spot. We could talk about all that.
When we come back, let's take a look at the National League wild card situation and how that might pan out in the last month of the baseball season. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
716 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. Fan text line lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I am the proud owner of a 2022 Bronco Sport that I bought from Vancouver Ford. They have been absolutely fantastic. Head up there. See Monty. Tell him the fan sent you. Tell him Jason sent you. Don't tell him I sent you. Monty will get confused.
Sukes Paul.
But if you say Suk sent you, then Monty and Justin are Monty and Jason are super big homies.
They're so tight.
Head on up there; they'll get you what you need. We got a lot to get to. There is, you know, Cy Young chatter for an unlikely candidate. Teams going the wrong way and teams potentially going the best route. So we got a lot to get to today. I'm really excited. It's September. This is it.
Yeah, best time.
It's
kind of
poop or get off. You know, so and we're kind of seeing that, and we're seeing that in so many aspects of the game right now. And I think that's really rad. I was a little anti the extra wild card spot simply because I'm always worried that baseball wants to go the NBA route and like sell out for just entertainment and crush the integrity of the sport.
Let more than half the league in at the end.
Yeah,
of the year.
Yeah. So I get a little gatekeeper about that. But to MLB's defense, it's done what they want to do, and it's made the postseason race a lot more exciting. And Schultzy, you chose the National League, and that's really what it boils down to. The American League's got a lot going on, but for different reasons, and we'll get to that in about 15 minutes. But the National League will sit here right now. Dodgers are in the lead in the West. Phillies in the East and the Brewers are in the Central. The Brewers have that division locked up. We're not going anywhere with that. Cardinals have been playing a little better. Cubs have definitely been playing better, but that division is pretty much over. The Phillies got a good lead in the East as well. I mean, I think we're safe to say now in September 3rd that they've probably got that.
Yeah, 6.5 games. That's hard to surmount. It's basically like you got to go 22 and what, 3 the rest of the month out
to kind of figure it out. Yeah, and the Dodgers have a comfortable lead, but their problem is, and that's where we'll get into with the wild card. The Dodgers' problem is that they got the two hottest teams in baseball are sitting there in their division right there, and that's right now the NL wild card standings sit at the San Diego Padres in first for the first wild card, Diamondbacks in second. On technicality, one game back of San Diego. Atlanta is in the third spot, but they only have a half game over the Mets. Chicago's 4 games back. That seems a little tough.
Yeah.
Four games seems a little tough.
Anything's possible, though. Craig Council.
Anything is possible. But there's the sneaky little Mets there at a half game back. Schultzy, I think we can both agree that the Diamondbacks and the Padres, I mean, record-wise, have just been absolutely phenomenal since the All-Star break. But when you watch them play, they look good. They yes. look the part. Padres are about to get Tatis back.
Oh, yeah. Just reinstated him. Excited, like, final month of the season with what is still probably their best player.
If I'm looking at this whole situation, I think what scares me to death is if I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. I don't think the Mets are very good, but yo, Atlanta, you've let them back in this race. Because Atlanta has a ton of problems, okay? Injuries have destroyed them. You can argue their two best players have been out for the year in Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr. And then Albies goes down. But if you look around the rest of that team, Matt Olson, welcome back to planet Earth, my friend. Last year seems a little bit of lightning in a bottle for him. It's kind of like
a little bit, yeah.
Kind of like Freddie Freeman, who? And it's like, boy, I wish I had Freddie Freeman now. This situation is fascinating. And Schultzy, I'll ask you, when it comes down to it, do you think the Mets or even the Cubs can potentially overtake the Braves for this third wild card spot?
I mean, I think the Mets have a better chance than Chicago because you're looking at teams that essentially, like Atlanta has a bunch of guys that have regressed to the mean, right? You know, Duvall's getting older. I think he's hitting under 200. He's kind of like Atlanta's Mitch Garver, yet they still keep throwing him out there, keep giving it bats because I'm assuming some algorithmic metric that says he's going to be the best in that matchup that day. There's not like a bunch of guys jumping off the page, but they've got I would say the most winning culture out of anybody else competing for the wild card, even beyond the Cubs and the Mets. The Mets, though, they've been really good. And Francisco Lindor, who was having a pretty crappy beginning to his season, has now just turned into a really great player, having a pretty normal season for him. Pete Alonso's hitting out of his ass because it's his free agent season. Is he going to be back? Probably not. But I feel like the Mets are kind of trending in the right direction as opposed to the Cubs have kind of just been up and down a little bit. They don't really have as many like clutch hitters as the Mets do. And yeah, the Braves, it's like they can only play hold on for so long. They're 6.5 games up right now. They're 6.5 games out of the final spot in the division. Definitely, I would say it's really hard for them looking at just a half game over the Mets to be able to hold on to that lead. But 4.5 over the Cubs, that's kind of more of like a division lead we're seeing around the rest of the year.
Well, I think what's fascinating when it comes to the Mets, and you mentioned it, is Frankie Lindor. Is Francisco Lindor, when he was traded from Cleveland to the Mets, it was like, okay, this makes sense. It's an up-and-coming absolute superstar. They give him the giant contract, the $300 million deal, and he's kind of garbage. I mean, his defense is always going to be great. You can't lose defensive metrics. But at the plate, as a switch-hitting guy, he couldn't hit from either side of the plate. And now he sits here right now, and this is kind of spoiling the tease that I had, but is Francisco Lindor not the MVP of the National League? The Mets would not be here without him.
I mean, he's clutched up for him. I would argue that former Mariner Jesse Winker, his walk-off for him the other day, he's actually hit since he was acquired. So it's kind of crazy when you get these cheap end-of-season acquisitions on top of a team that's playing more like they should, because this is what everybody thought the Mets were supposed to do with this highly paid roster, right? And really, all they did was shed the really crappy starting pitching contracts they got in Verlander and Scherzer. Now, they've still got that same nucleus that they've had for the last, what, 4-6 years? Starling Marte's been around. He's a vet. He's been in the playoffs before. You just look down the list of guys that keep clutching up for them. Jesse Winker, been in the playoffs, been there before. And Francisco Lindor to kind of be the cherry on top. Like, I don't see a problem or a weakness with the Mets roster right now. And I can't believe I'm talking so positively about the Mets, but I am.
I'd like to keep this conversation going about this National League wild card and how it pans out. But I'm going to pull back the curtain here for a minute. Schultzy, I'm about to pee my pants.
Well, then let's go to break, bro. I'll do a sports update a little bit early.
So we're gonna bounce out of here and come back real quick. I hope my boss isn't listening because he's gonna be super mad about this. But it's gotta go down, my friends. If Joe Fisher were here, I'd just say talk for a minute and I'd run out of here. So when we come back, I want to keep it with this NL wild card, and then we'll switch over to the American League, because I do want to know that, yeah, this Mets-Braves thing is also fascinating, but the Diamondbacks-Padres are fascinating for their own. So we'll stick in the National League, and we'll keep going. But first, there's Schultzy with sports. Excuse me for the early exit, but we are back here live on 10 of the Fam. Do this bad boy every single Tuesday night. Thank you for tuning in on YouTube, the Odyssey app, and after the show, we podcast so you can get it wherever you need to. We're talking here the NL wildcard, and I kind of want to finish this up before we switch over to the American League. And the last thoughts on the Mets. I think what is really fascinating about this team is you've got an owner that is a little somewhere between a Steinbrenner and a Cuban, like an owner that clearly cares, that is willing to spend money, but sometimes can't get out of his own way and make dumb decisions. You mentioned Pete Alonso will most likely walk at the end of the year, but they've got him now, and they're here. So we'll finish up with these two before we slide to the other two. Do you think the Mets catch the Braves? Do you think the Mets make the playoffs? Here we are, September 3rd. Do you think they will sneak in?
Yes, I think they'll do it. I do. And I mean, you're still only looking at what the Diamondbacks have a 2-game lead over the Braves. So it's not like the Braves could still be caught and not make it in. We could see the Padres or the D-backs theoretically go on like a 4 or 5 game losing streak and hurt their playoff chances. But I think the Mets, they're just kind of peaking at the right time. And good for Sean Manaea, just kind of sticking around, being like one of the top two guys in their rotation. Like, he's been in the league forever.
He's looked pretty good for him of late.
I love watching him pitch. I'm just like, oh yeah, all right, fantasy or betting. Who's Sean Manaea? Bet for the Mets that day. Okay, got it.
I think there's a very good chance. I'll stick with Atlanta. I like the manager better. I like the team structure. But I would not be shocked, but I'll tell you what, Jordan. We sat here at the All-Star break, and we were like, the Mets, ha-ha, bunch of losers. I'll give them a lot of credit for being here.
Yeah, what did we, the Grimace thing? Like, they went on a winning streak after Grimace, like, throughout the first pitch, and then we kind of laughed at that. Then they lost a bunch after that. We laughed some more.
And then Hawk Tua girl throws out a pitch, and we laugh some more, and they're just a laughing stock. Yet here we are, they're a half game back.
Yeah, I got to say, man, props to that roster, because, yeah, you're right. I do like Brian Snitker better in Atlanta than their manager. It's like a former pitching guy, not really too high on just random hires. But once again, it seems like the manager, does it really matter at this point? We've been having this conversation on my podcast about, you know, the Mariners possibly really not even being managed by the person in the dugout anymore. I don't really think that's just true of Seattle. I think most teams kind of have like this algorithm that are putting together lineups and that are looking at splits and whatnot. So I does that matter? Not so much, but I love what's happening in New York regardless.
Yeah, and then just to give some love to the top two, the Padres and the Diamondbacks are sitting there. They're actually, it's funny to think about these two teams because I feel like their priorities right now, they're like the wild card. That's for losers. We're not here for that. So that's what makes that race even more interesting, is that the Padres and the Diamondbacks, they do not want the wild card. They can see the division right in front of them. Diamondbacks have slipped a little bit, but the Padres are right there, and they're all going to play each other. There's still games to go, and while the Padres are playing the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks are sitting there going, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
I mean, I'm not.
And while the Padres are playing the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers are going, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee. And it goes that way for all three of those teams. Dodgers playing the Diamondbacks, Padres going, hee-hee-hee-hee.
Yeah, the cannibalism happening.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they're there for it.
I mean, I'm not sure, though, that either team, even with all the matchups against each other, is going to catch the Dodgers at this point. I'm sorry. They're good, yeah. I'm glad that it seems like San Diego is going to be going to the playoffs with their best guy, Fernando Tatis Jr., and I'm assuming he's just ready to go. I expect like a huge month of September from him, and if anybody catches the Dodgers, it's probably going to be the Padres. They're not really getting anybody like in Arizona like the Padres are added to their lineup right now. And frankly,
Arizona's getting Christian Walker back tonight.
Okay, that's fair.
Which is a big move for future Seattle Mariner bust long-term free agent Christian Walker. He's back tonight. So he's no Tatis, but he's pretty damn good. He took him to a World Series last year.
No, that's fair. But I like the San Diego Padres pitching staff a lot more than the Diamondbacks as well. So I gotta lean towards them, but I just don't think anybody's catching the Dodgers in the NL West this year. They just have too many damn hitters. They DFA'd Jason Hayward, what, 3 days after he hit a go-ahead home run or grand slam or whatever it was against the Seattle Mariners? It just that's how it is in Dodger land.
And I hate that he's an Astro now.
Yeah, I wanted his attitude in the Mariners locker room, but that's like, I don't care if he's hitting 200. It's just like, that's somebody that's
200, you fit in.
Yeah, shut up. That's somebody that's won before, and you want that attitude in the Mariners locker room. You need it, but yeah, Houston gets all the candy and all the best ones, don't they?
Yeah, they do. All right, we'll keep an eye on that because, I mean, this, if the Padres won the division and Dodgers go out early, does Dave Roberts get fired? Ah, that's for another show.
That's probably a whole segment.
But you can hear the timbre in my voice that's trying to will that to existence.
You really want that. I'm not sure it's going to happen.
I really want that. I think he's the second worst manager in baseball.
Outside of Aaron Boone.
Of course. I mean, that's easy.
Sorry, buddy. I disagree with you on that one. I think Pedro Grifol was the worst manager of baseball until he was fired.
Watch your mouth on that Grady Sizemore stuff, all right? I don't care if he's a White Sox. He's an Indian for life. We'll slide over to the American League, which, I teased this earlier, so I'd like to get to it in the second hour, so I don't want to dive too much in it. This is pretty much a three-team race. This is Baltimore, Minnesota, Kansas City right now in that order. Baltimore's got a 5.5 game lead over the Twins, who only have a half game lead over the Royals. But I think what's more fun about what I like, I don't know if it's more fun. What I like about this wild card race in comparison to the National League is that this wild card race, we know for the most part who's going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's going to be New York, Cleveland, Houston, Baltimore, Minnesota, Kansas City. Outside of Houston, we're in that San Diego Padre territory. It ain't about the wild card. It's about the division. Minnesota, Kansas City have their sights set. There's a huge series in Kansas City, or in Cleveland, where Kansas City came to Cleveland, and Kansas City took 3 of 4 and tightened that gap up. And then Kansas City went to lose. I don't want to get too much in that because I want to do that later. But that division is still up for grabs. And then you're talking about the Orioles, Yankees. The Orioles have more wins than the Yankees do right now. But they also have more losses.
Yeah.
So they're technically in the wild card.
Yeah, win percentage, yeah.
But Baltimore and New York, what's going to be fun about this is that they're going to power at each other the entire way through. Because they do not want to be in that wild card because the winner of the East is most likely going to finish with the best record in the American League. And that is so important. And I cannot wait to see how Baltimore, New York pans out.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's nice to see Jackson Holliday finally hitting some bombs for him. It's just like, it doesn't matter who they bring up. They hit for Baltimore, so definitely a lot of home runs to be expected out of that race. And yeah, more cannibalization of, it's crazy, we don't really have a blue blood in baseball this year, and one of the big reasons is because all these great teams are in the same division. In the NL West, in the AL East, you've got the top two or three teams kind of in each league, or two of the top teams fighting that. So I'm excited to see Aaron Judge obviously setting new home run records, possibly. I also am excited to see another back-to-back-to-back with him and Stanton and Soto, you know, before Juan Soto goes to free agency. It's going to be an exciting month of September. I think just because of the firepower that they have in the organization that they are, I hate saying it. Like, I want the Orioles to beat them. I want them to win the division, but I think the Yankees are going to do it, bro. I hate saying it, but I think they're going to do it.
In 3 weeks, we'll be sitting right here. And at 4:05 p.m. our time, Baltimore on the 24th of September will be in New York for a 3-game set. And then they go on the road directly after to the Twins.
And
that's how they finish their season.
And I'm pretty sure that is like equal to a lot of teams in playoff races are going to be in very key matchups that week. Like the Mariners, the day before, they start a 3-game set with the Astros. So if they had any semblance of hope to try to still win the division, it would be to be within 3 games by the 23rd. That is a very key moment for a lot of teams this season. definitely those last two series. Woo, coming down to it.
Yeah, you take a look at, I mean, I just looked at the Baltimore month of September. It's not that bad. When the Yankees get off this Rangers road trip, they go to the Cubs. Then they host the Royals for three games.
Yep.
Then they host the Red Sox for four games. Then they're at the Mariners for three, the A's for three. They come home for the Orioles, and they finish at home versus the Pirates, who are kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, a little bit.
They're kind of a pain in the butt right now. And so that's going to be fascinating to look at as this thing goes, because it's not really a wild card race anymore. It's a division race.
No, and nobody, as you say, teams that are fighting for the wild card essentially are, what, a 4-5 game gap away from the Mariners, the Tigers, anybody that's close. You know, the Red Sox kind of in that group as well. But can Boston really make a run with their schedule in the last month? I don't think so. But like we said, anything's possible. Like the Cubs could make a run over the National League. But like, I just don't see, you know, hey, maybe the Tigers will get hot at the right time. They've got some hitters lately that are showing up. They just don't have a complete team. But yeah, I don't really see anybody challenging either of these teams for the other wild card spots. No way.
I'm looking at my Cleveland Guardians schedule for the month of September. Oh, boy. After this road trip to Kansas City, got Thursday off. Three games at the Dodgers, three games at the White Sox, which mm-hmm. makes you feel better, four games in Tampa, who they're out of it, but they always are hard.
Yeah.
Then four games at home against the Twins. That's going to be a huge series. Then you're on the road for three at the Cardinals, and then two with Cincinnati. Cleveland finishes September with three games at home against the Houston Astros.
Ooh, that's a rough one. That's a rough finish to the season.
All you got to hope, like, Cleveland is scoreboard watching for the Mariners to lose. And they hope that 27, 28, 29th of September, Houston's got it with no other position in sight and just mail it in for 3 days.
No, but if they wanted to keep Cleveland maybe out of the playoffs, for instance, would you see them playing hard?
For sure, I wouldn't want to play Cleveland in the playoffs.
Exactly. If I'm looking at like the matchup that I want, I think I'd still go if I'm Joe Espada to try to like put the best lineup out there I can.
Yeah, in the American League, I think you look at it like, I don't want to play Baltimore or Houston. Those are the teams I don't want to play because like they're really, really good. All right? But the Yanks, I think, are vulnerable. And every other team, I think, is vulnerable. But then when you get to that second tier of, like, the scrappy team or the true guys you don't want to see, like, I don't want to see Cleveland. I don't want to see Cleveland. I don't want to see the loser of the East. And I was going to say it about Kansas City, but we'll get to that in a minute. Cleveland is a team that I just don't think you want to see. I think the Yankees you can pitch around. Baltimore's scary.
I don't know. Stephen Kwan doesn't scare me anymore. So seems like he's just falling off a cliff.
Corbin Burns doesn't scare me anymore either.
That's true.
That's a wild thing. Anyway, that's where we are with that. That's where we are in wild card standings. Divisions up for grabs. Placement, positioning, home field, first round, second round matchups. Oh, boy, this is going to be a wild September. We come back. Are we missing the American League Cy Young winner? Can this happen and should this happen? We'll do it next. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into the possibility of this team finishing with the best record in the National League and also another team going in the wrong direction, which I am so conflicted about. So we got a lot to get to in the second hour. Schultz, you make a fair foul? We doing that?
I have a couple of questions. Not four. But we can try to throw it out.
Open it up.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have some fun.
Let our freak flags fly.
Why not, baby? Trying to stump you on former Seattle Mariners again. I know I went on that train for a couple of weeks.
I will most likely lose. Nah. The answer is Dustin Ackley.
Hey, he was supposed to hit like Chase Utley, man. He was supposed to.
But shout out to the YouTube. The YouTube feed, Harley, who has joined us, and some dude named Brandon, who has joined us, too.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
Brandon, P1 Brandon here, asks, a last wild card team in either league will make the LCS, true or false?
Ooh, I like that.
I do like that. I do like that question as well.
I'll go true. Why not?
Why not?
It's baseball. Anything can happen.
Texas won a World Series last year.
Yeah, we're not supposed to let the terrible teams beat the good teams, right? So
right. But it's baseball, and any terrible team can beat any good team.
Yeah, just because you
have you watched the Oakland A's lately? Actually, my Oakland A's.
They're not bad. They're one of the best teams since the All-Star break,
They got a run of four guys in that lineup that can hit.
They do, yeah. Rooker, Blade, they've got Lawrence Butler. They've actually got
Langoliers.
Yeah, thank you.
Shea Langoliers.
Well.
No, just walking off people.
I think the A's are like 23-17 since the All-Star
they're
break.
They're like one of the best teams in baseball since the All-Star
break.
Yeah,
it's kind of nuts.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
I'm here. If that team wasn't such a dumpster fire with an ass hat of an owner, I would back them.
Yeah.
They're so fun to watch.
You look at them on paper, they actually match up this year against a lot of major league teams, like which last year we all kind of just assumed they'd be like that again. No, they're good now.
I'm excited for the Oakland, Sacramento, Vegas, A's chatter in the offseason because I think this team is actually building to be something really good if they can hold on to these guys.
If they can actually move to Vegas.
But I want to kind of move this over into the Cy Young situation that's going on. And it's funny, ESPN has a Cy Young predictor. And I find this really fascinating because I have to imagine it's basically AI generated of stats, an algorithm that kind of pumps it out and says, okay, based on these metrics and what these guys do, this is why this person should win the Cy Young. In both leagues, the top predictor is a reliever.
Oh, really?
The National League is Ryan Helsley. For the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. The American League is Emmanuel Clase for the Cleveland Guardians.
Don't we have a Relief Pitcher of the Year award? I don't know if it's still sponsored by Rolaids, but I'm pretty sure. It used to be, I remember in the old MLB The Show games, it was the Rolaids Relief
That's
Pitcher of the Year.
That's such a great troll.
Isn't it?
Like, I got to eat a bottle of Tums because I got to eat a bottle of Rolaids because I got... You know, because I got Fernando Rodney out there on the mound right now,
yeah,
and I have no idea what to do with that. You know, I'm just terrified because here comes Fernando Rodney.
Former Mariner, JJ Putz throwing darts, so I need some Rolaids. No.
Smoking darts, but that's more like it.
No kidding, but that's pretty crazy. I'm pretty sure there is a Reliever of the Year award, so the fact that the metrics even would allow this, I think, is fascinating.
In the National League, your top five predictors, Ryan Helsley at one, Suarez at two. There's another reliever.
Wow, two relievers at the top.
Chris Sale at three, who I think most of us would agree is going to be the National League Cy Young winner.
P1 Brandon says that.
That guy doesn't listen to this show. That guy's an idiot. Zach Wheeler at number four, and Tanner Scott at number five.
Wow.
So of these five, three of them are relievers.
And can we say also Raisel Iglesias for the Atlanta Braves at number six, also
yeah.
a reliever as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, there's relievers in here. You switch, I mean, Kyle Finnegan's at 10 for the Nationals.
That's, I didn't even see that.
The American League is Clase at one, Tarik Skubal, who's been absolutely fantastic at two.
Yeah.
Josh Hader. Kirby Yates.
Wow.
Framber Valdez, phenomenal starter. Seth Lugo, phenomenal starter. Corbin Burns, not as good late, but phenomenal starter. Then you get Clay Holmes. There comes another reliever.
Kirby Yates was just...
Luis Gil and Blanco from the Astros round out that top 10. So my question to you is, like, I think a lot of this is based on metrics and stats and the algorithm and how they want it. So I don't necessarily believe, like, this isn't where my head is.
Yeah.
But the one thing that jumps off this page to me about where my head might be, should Emmanuel Clase win the American League Cy Young? Because I don't think Helsley or Suarez will. I think that's Chris Sale's award right now, unless he stumbles in his next 2 to 3 starts to finish out the month. I think that's his. But in the American League, it's wide open. I feel like they want to give it to Skubal because he's a young kid. It's almost like the James Harden, Russell Westbrook treatment. Like, it's your turn, kid. So we want to give this to you. 64 games, 64.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 55 strikeouts, 41 saves, and an ERA of 0.7. That's Emmanuel Clase.
That's amazing. No, I get the metrics putting him at the top, but I'm just going back to, like, yes, there is a Reliever of the Year award that in the American League, it's called the Mariano Rivera Award. In the National League, it's called the Trevor Hoffman Award. This was only started in 2014, and I would think that it was in response to...
As Mo was still playing, can Mo win his own award?
Yeah, exactly. Love to see that. It's in response to, I believe, the last pitcher to win as a reliever, the Cy Young, was like Eric Gagne.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's Eric Gagne.
And that was what, 2002, 2003? Yes. Okay, I've got the list right here. Eric Gagne, 03. And then 11 years before that, Dennis Eckersley in 1992. Does this happen very often? Back then, no, but I think we're starting to get to, you know, different kind of baseball where relievers are, instead of being like this ninth inning guy only, and actually still back in the day of Eckersley winning in 92, closers threw three innings back then.
Yeah.
Baseball's changed significantly, and Eckersley was actually a starter at one point in his career as well, so that kind of muddies the waters a little bit. I think John Schmoltz, I don't know if he won a Cy Young or two, either as a closer
or
a starter.
He has a Cy as a starter.
Exactly, as a starter, but then he also closed in his career, so I feel like the award for relievers was created to kind of distinguish between the starter and the reliever for future of baseball statistics. Like, right, we come now into this day and age where we're seeing relievers coming in the sixth inning instead of the seventh or the eighth more often than not. Mm-hmm. So you see relievers throwing more pitches. I feel like you still have to give the starting pitchers an award to win. That would be the Cy Young. So specifically based on that, I don't see them handing Clase this. It would be great, like, to see a reliever do it, but there are so many good starting pitchers in this era too that, like, I feel like the Cy Young is just kind of, you're not really, you're poo-pooing a little bit on the starting pitcher, if that makes sense, if you just hand that to a reliever, especially while you've got a best reliever award.
I know, but I wonder if it's kind of turning in, and I'll compare it to the NFL a little bit. I wonder if it's comparing it or kind of turning into, the MVP is a hitter.
Yes.
The Cy Young is a starter.
Okay.
And to be a reliever or a position player in football, to win an MVP, you have to, like, break Eric Dickerson's record of rushing yards in a season, or who is it? I think it's Strahan still, sacks. Most sacks in a season.
Yeah.
And even that might not get you the award, because, you know, they sit there and they go, you know, well, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, but we're going to give the Offensive Player of the Year award to Christian McCaffrey. And it's like, how is the MVP not the, who is an offensive player, not the Offensive Player of the Year?
That makes sense.
And so I don't want baseball to go the route of kind of what you were saying. We have a reliever award, so why do we need to give a reliever a high accolade? Well, let me tell you this. Justin Verlander has an MVP because he was the MVP of that team. Yeah, he won a Cy Young, but that was just the cherry on top. The reality was, I think in baseball you can win a Cy Young and be an MVP. And if that's the truth, then you can be a reliever and win a Cy Young.
I mean, do you think the nature of the sport, though, maybe it requires baseball to separate these categories like they are? Because you've even seen in football, the NFL nowadays, you have AFC, NFC, you know, rookie offensive, rookie defensive player of the year, offense player of the year, defensive player of the year. Whereas before, they didn't really distinguish that always. Like, it was just a player of the year. And to give each part of the team its due, that's kind of what you're doing here. I understand that you're talking about, like, the best overall, but, like, then where you're going with this conversation, it's like most valuable player or most valuable player to their team.
Right.
And what are we actually voting for?
Like, A-Rod's MVPs are in Texas and they never made the playoffs.
Exactly.
Are you an MVP?
I mean,
you're bad with him and bad without him.
In Dallas,
there's
yes.
No value. There's no value. Your value is bobblehead night.
Like, I was going to say, yeah, MVP for tickets sold.
I also wonder, and we'll get out on this because I know we're way up against it, but I also wonder, Eckersley wins that Cy Young because the A's had been to World Series, won World Series, and he was the revolutionary closer.
Yes.
You know, kind of the first guy. So that I understand. And Oakland was a high marketable team at that time. Gagne, those Dodgers teams weren't great.
No.
But Gagne did do it for the Dodgers. He had a look to him. He had a physical stature to him, the way he delivered. It was kind of exciting baseball. But he's in L.A.
Yeah.
Does somebody like Clase or, hell, I'll even throw out Helsley in St. Louis or Suarez in San Diego, because those markets aren't as big, quote-unquote, as the Dodgers or Oakland at the time, does that hurt Clase because he's in Cleveland?
Probably. I would also say that he doesn't have, like...
You say the Cleveland closer is going to be there with Gagne and Eckersley?
I think that if you don't look like Eric Gagne, where you got, like, this crazy, you know, kind of outlandish, like, goggles wearing big old puffy hair thing about you, along with the Los Angeles connection, I feel like all those, the combination of those things plus his great stats, are what won him that award, the Cy Young that year, as opposed to like just those stats. If you saw like Shigetoshi Hasegawa have those exact same stats, you know, would he have won that award? I don't know. I'm thinking right. Not, but I just, it's the LA factor. It's the craziness factor that we all love to see. It's like the Chris Anderson Birdman thing, you know, when he played for the Nuggets and the Heat. We love to see that.
We love to see that. Yeah. And real quick, we'll end with this. Tarik Skubal, 168 innings, 201 Ks, a 2.51 ERA. If he wins it, I don't really have an issue with that. He's been really good.
No. And actually,
I hate the Tigers.
Actually, in our brief edition of Fair or Foul, one of our questions is about Tarik Skubal, or at least contains a little fact about him.
All right. Well, that's the Cy Young. I'm really excited to see how that pans out in both leagues. I do think Sale will have it in the National League, but I'm very, very curious what the American League goes. And a shout out to my good old friend, Brandon Sprague, who actually listens to my show because I actually listen to his show. So thank you, my friend. I miss you. I haven't seen you in a while. When we come back, one team is going in the wrong direction and another team could sneak up and get the best record in the National League. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. This is the Hot Corner Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.